Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for Your Soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, my name is Eli Hoshotara and I'm your host for this hour. So we're actually going to talk about something that's been coming up recently as the subject of the show. We're going to do mailbag today, so before I get to that, I want to talk a little bit about spiritual maturity, because I've talked about different aspects that are really going to make a difference in your life, the things that are going to give you the big bang, the big, great, big kapow, even if people don't realize that's what's happening. And spiritual maturity is actually one of them. Now, I want to be clear before I say this. This is not where you've got somebody who obviously doesn't know what they're doing, and they're like, you must be open, and every single moment, otherwise you're not deep. Nobody's really going to be open to every single moment in every single point in time. And I really, really want to be clear on that. It's a harder thing to do. Not always easy. It is something that does become easier with time. But when you get somebody who honestly thinks, and you see this with the lower skill set levels, so I'm going to warn you about this. Some of this stuff where you see people doing things because they think it shows how evolved they are, those are actually the things that show how unevolved they are, how much learning they still have to do. because, you know, there are heights that you can definitely get to with spirituality and your self-development, and they will go beyond what an unpracticed person thinks is possible by a long shot. But, you know, these ideas of perfection, they usually go more towards the people that are still in the beginning phases. You'll see this more a lot in trauma, people with a history of trauma, is that I think everything needs to be perfect because I think that's the only way that they're going to be okay in the world, or because they're not using them and they don't want to admit where and or they don't want to admit where they've got some sort of stuff that they still have to work out. And you'll see this with people who've got really, really stinky energy. And that's just how I interpret it. The more, if you want clean energy, you really have to be honest about these things. If when we see guys who are very slimy, for example, when we see women who are just absolute fucking nightmares to deal with, and energetically you can feel how off they are, that's what happens when people are very dishonest. And people, when they twist things around, take themselves out of honesty, it's not that, and you're going to stink. I really want to be clear about that. Because there's going to be some moments, even when you're a highly practiced individual, there's going to be some moments where it's like, you just maybe don't know what you're doing. Maybe you slip back a little bit. It's not a big deal. It's just a normal part of human development. But that's a big difference. And when you see people who are like incredibly energetically off, to get to that point, you really have to be doing a lot of twisting, of lying to self, of twisting facts. And it takes the energy, and it'll take the energy enough. And I mean, you're talking like a lot of twisting, like a lot. More than that, what's going to happen in 1 week, unless it's triggering some old patterns. I mean, you're really going to be talking about years and years and years of really hardcore twisting shit around, lying to themselves, you know, lying about what other people are doing, to really get that sort of like, get to the point where somebody's really energetically stinky But when you get those people, and we see a lot of them, unfortunately, in self-development, we see a lot of them, unfortunately, in self, in spirituality, you know, in so-called enlightenment, you'll get people with really stinky energy who think that, like, they're the bomb, you know, like, ooh, they know how to do everything. And that's actually one of your good warning signs that they actually don't. So the only way out of all of this, and I've said this before repeatedly on past shows, is actually honesty. And some people will twist around things and they'll lie about their honesty to say that they're honest. And of course, that's one of the things that contributes to the stinky energy. Well, sometimes, you know, you're like, you're lying about things, and they're like, nope, they're not. How dare you say that? You know, and when you can hear, like, in the voice, and I'm mimicking those sorts of energies, and you can hear it through the tone of my voice, I'm nope. You know, they're just like, oh my God, almighty, and yup, and whatever, you know, and you can hear those sorts of, like, really large amounts of energetic distortion, the sliminess, the non-reality. You can pick those things up pretty easily. And so, like, lying about where one is honest isn't really going to clean up the energy. So when people have an easier time recognizing that in the past they've twisted facts around to sort of suit themselves, that sort of thing, if you really want to advance, that's got to get knocked off. And when it's not that, like, you know, sometimes people worry about having to be perfect. It's not that you have to be perfect, because perfect really is just, it's really a point of view. And perfect is sort of like not accepting that other people, say somebody has an idea of what they want for breakfast, and I'll use a woman as an example to be fair to the guys. Because I use the guy as an example for the slimy behavior, because women pick up on that shit really, really easily. But when you get, like, a woman who's like, she's only going to date Mr. Right, and he has to have strawberries and blueberries for breakfast, and only one tablespoon of coconut, she just doesn't want to deal with him. You know, it's like, you don't look at that sort of woman and go, oh my God, wow, you know, she's brilliant, she's so smart, oh my God, look how discerning she is. And while that may be her idea of an ideal breakfast, different people have different nutritional needs. So, you know, what is perfect for one person is not going to be perfect for somebody else. Now, be had. You'll see people who will use a difference of an opinion to try to justify a bunch of unserving, unhealthy, negative behaviors. And trying to use a difference of opinion to justify unhealthy behaviors is not really a healthy version of a difference of opinion. Okay, so because basically excuses are excuses, that doesn't really change. But when you're looking at the fact that everybody has their own life path here to work out, to live, to do what's right, certain things will actually use up different vitamin and minerals in the body, because your vitamins, your minerals, you know, your supplements, your food sources, they drive different processes in the body. And if you're using one of those up, like say you work out a lot, you're going to need a different supplement form to keep your body going than say somebody who thinks a lot. So somebody who thinks a lot, I'm not sure if it's all, but at least some of your vitamin B's will actually become very important, and you're actually going to need more of your vitamin B's, at least some of them, if you're somebody who thinks a lot. Then, and if somebody who works out a lot, they're going to need things like, you know, the building blocks to help build the muscles up, because they're going to be using those factors. So there's very real, very healthy differences of opinion that people will have based on what they need. So for somebody who thinks a lot, they're going to be craving the foods that have the vitamin B's in them, and that's going to be healthy for them. Now, for somebody who's got a diet that uses, like, for example, a lot of proteins, they're having a more protein diet, it's going to feel better for them to do, because they're going to have a higher need for the proteins. If you have liver issues and you're really in tune with your body and you're a healthy eater, you're going to need more fresh foods, because that's going to feel better for your body, because that's going to help your body, your liver, to function better. And when you eat too much grease, if you're having liver problems, provided you haven't completely and absolutely sort of glazed over being able to listen to your liver by drinking too much or eating too much heavy, fatty, or processed foods, your liver is going to start to kick up a storm if you're not eating healthy, provided that you can actually notice it. Doesn't mean the liver's not kicking up a storm, it's just you'll notice it more if you're eating healthy and then you go to eat the potato chips and your liver's like, oh, kick, 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 it's not having fun. So there are very real reasons why we need to support healthy differences. And and when we're looking at like sort of like honesty and all these sorts of things, from an honest perspective, the more that we understand, the more that we can actually support healthy differences of opinion, because they're actually going to be beneficial to support. And, you know, like one person will like a different kind of fruit or a different kind of vegetable. And because, you know, all this information about what's good for you, what's bad for you changes. And sometimes you have to be on this planet for long enough to be able to notice the cycles that we go through in the eating patterns. You know, high fat used to be bad, now it's good. And then at some point it'll be bad again. You know, you kind of have to live on the planet long enough to see all the cycles that people go through where things come in and out of fashion, but they do. So, you know, when we're honest about it, you're not going to know every last thing about nutrition, and neither is anybody else, because there's always going to be more to learn and discover. And people will get find certain modalities that will work great for them, and they'll work great for them as long as they need them. There are other things that will not work so great. It doesn't mean that they're not good for other people. And we have to be in reality of that and not twist things around to try to like justify our own opinions, because that, again, the more that you twist things around, the more it'll actually create energetic discord. But not only that, people get more and more difficult to deal with. So when you've got people, for example, who, and I'm using more extreme examples here, these are not the most extreme examples, I want to be clear. The more extreme examples of humanity are if you've ever watched some sort of crime movie and they've gone to rescue women and children from being held in captivity en masse, then you're starting to talk about like, okay, the true, you know, how dark things can go. And even beyond that, things can actually go a lot more darker and manipulative than that, even holding 100 women and children hostage as sexual slaves. It goes a lot darker than that, unfortunately. So for anybody who's worried about it, because we're going to talk about this some stuff, some people get like a lot of shame and stuff like that. And the problem with shame is, you know, if you've done something wrong, quite frankly, clean it up. And that's it. You know, some of the things people feel shame about, they don't have to be big deals, but they become big deals because people twist shit around to make themselves right. And then that twisting around actually creates a lot more drama. So for spiritual maturity, you know, we have to look at, like, you know, being honest in ourselves. If you twisted it down, untwist it, get more in reality, because the twisting of things actually takes you out of reality, and it's the untwisting of things, and it's accepting things as they actually work that actually gets you to the highest next levels. Twisting shit around to justify an opinion actually creates problems, and the more that people do it, the more problems that they actually create. So you get people who've really twisted things around for a very long time. They're very, very difficult to deal with. They think it has something to do with, you know, their fundamental core nature, but it actually has a lot to do with behavioral patterns. And when people feel shame about it, they don't want to clean it up. Maybe they live in very toxic communities where anytime they try to clean it up, they're scared that they're going to get attacked for it. Or anytime they do a healthy, beneficial behavior, they get attacked to it. They get attacked for doing those healthy behaviors. People will think, well, it doesn't work to put out these healthy behaviors. Now, does it work to put out healthy behaviors? Yeah, provided you have a healthy enough community where healthy behaviors can be accepted. Now, in healthy communities, super unhealthy behavior isn't really going to be accepted. People will know better to stay away from that. And people who are still at the beginning stages and they know they're emotionally unhealthy, they tend to get upset about that. Here's the thing, though. They may consider good people, people who will accept them in spite of like all the hardship and toxicity and sometimes abuse that they're causing. But the people that are going to accept that are more likely to do it to the same people that are scared of getting rejected by the higher levels. And a lot of the stuff, you know, that people think makes them, quote unquote, such bad people is actually easier to clean up than they think. I'm not going to say it's always, you know, going to feel easy. It's not. But there's a lot of things that actually make a big difference in terms of how we react to things that will actually make a huge whopping difference in terms of emotional health. And things like not twisting shit around in order to justify one's opinion, not doing that is actually going to be one of the things that will contribute to good mental health, and one of the things that will contribute to bad mental health or ill health is a lot of the twisting around. So what happens is, and I'll use an example, I try to use colors. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I understand, you know, some people are, you know, they don't want to face anything and they're going to be hurt no matter what. And there's a karma that comes for them with that, which is, you know, the only way you ever really get anything resolved is to have honesty. And people lash out because they don't want to be honest with themselves. They drive more people away. It's just one of the karmic happenings that come when we don't be, you know, emotionally responsible. So, you know, if we take red, the color red, and say red shows up late, and I've used this example before, if red shows up late and her boss calls her on it because she's been late 5 times that week, which is late every single day, late for an entire week, and she's been late for an entire week, if her boss calls her out on it, if red got her butting gear and started being on time and she just did it, red would have an improved capacity into beneficial, healthy skill sets. What makes things go wrong for a person like Red, and you're about to see what I mean by a person like Red, is when she twists things around to make it like not to make other people bad or wrong that she showed up late, then she's going to be bad mouthing her boss, and she's going to be calling her boss a bitch, or she's going to be going around trying to get everybody against her boss. How dare that bitch say I have to be on time? And she's going to twist it around to make it seem like, oh, yes, you know, green is so bad. She's got so many. Oh, she's a beast, bitch. Oh, my God, everybody should just quit. And, you know, and so if the boss gets wind of this, if the boss has got enough emotionally healthy behaviors, the boss is going to fire Red in an instant. And healthier people will take a few steps back from Red. And because those behaviors are more easily picked up on, the higher you go, people learn to just avoid Red in the first place. So, you know, and you can tell by the energies, for anybody who's got a problem with understanding that, you all have somebody where you know instantaneously that you need to avoid them because they're going to be too much trouble for you. They're going to be too toxic for you to deal with. Every single person listening to this knows somebody like that. And what people think is, you know, in Red's position, that she's like kid for no good reason. And that's usually a standby for people like Red. It's like, oh, I didn't do nothing. And it's like, well, you know that they did something. Number one, you could tell by the energy and you can hear it in the way that I'm imitating Red. You can hear it in the energy with the twists and the turns. You can hear that sort of show up. And everybody else can hear and show that show up too, unless they're also doing it a lot or they're behaving a lot worse than Red. If they're behaving a lot worse than Red, then they probably won't be able to pick up on it. Some people who behave like Red will not be able to pick up on it. And what does that mean for them? Well, then they're more likely to interact with people who act like Red, which is going to actually cause them problems because even Red will be hurt by other people who act like her. So Red will be hurt by other Reds. and, you know, like, why are people, you know, learning to stay away from Red? Well, let's see. It was Red's fault she wasn't on time. And instead of understanding that and correcting the action, because you're all going to fall short, and this includes me, there's all going to be moments in time where, guess what? You're going to have to up your game and you're going to have to grow. And that's true of everybody. I don't care like how high and evolved somebody is. There's always going to be the next level that people can take things to. I mean, you look at Warren Buffett financially. I mean, that guy's a freaking genius in terms of finances. That guy is super freaking rich. And Warren Buffett reads, he's rumored to read, I think I read like 500 pages a day. A day. A lot of people don't even read that a month. Why would somebody read 500 pages a day? Because he understands, even at the level of being able to make that much money, he understands there's always something more that he can learn. And the highest skill set people understand this, and they keep on improving themselves because they understand that's just part of upping their game. When you get people in Red situation, there's usually a lot less focused not all the time, but definitely in some moments, there's not enough focus on doing the things that they need to improve and getting the appropriate help so they improve in ways that are actually going to serve them. And instead of doing all of that and doing something easy like learning how to show up on time, Red then becomes abusive to her boss by calling her a bitch. She goes around and she's very toxic for her boss because she's trying to shred her boss over the fact Red's trying to shred up her boss over the fact that Red was actually late, which doesn't make sense. And then it becomes toxic and abusive to get involved with Red. Now, Red does these behaviors. Does that mean that Red is totally and completely incapable of improving? No. Why? It's really simple. Red can skip all the drama. All she has to do is be willing to start showing up on time. And when people have a lot of trauma, here's this wonderful thing that happens. In some moments, they get their life would be easier if other people smartened the fuck up. In other moments, they think they shouldn't have to improve their own behaviors and everybody should feel sorry for them. And depending on what side, on what space that they're in the moment, they'll completely and absolutely forget the other side of the equation. So people who act like Red, in some moments, they'll be like, everybody should smarten the fuck up. You know, I do my work. Ah, nobody else does. But then when they're not in that space, and it's like, well, it's mean to pick on people, including other people. It's mean to pick on people and expect them to do emotionally healthy behaviors or serving beneficial behaviors. It's mean. How dare you? You should always feel sorry for them and never expect that they should have to cooperate in their life. And so what happens is you get less focus on solutions, which is actually what's going to take you out of everything, and you get more focus on people should not have to focus on their life. You should feel sorry for them no matter what they do to you. And then you get people like Red, who one of the first things they do is somebody very toxic that a higher level would understand to stay away from, and Red will go try and be friends with that person. She'll get emotionally battered, she'll get emotionally abused, she'll get toxified, she'll get sabotaged, she'll have somebody like taking all the shit out on them. And because Red has not done enough of her own work to focus on solutions enough, and she hasn't broken free of that level yet, she'll think she's a good person for going and getting toxified. And then other people take a much further stance away from Red. Why? Because Red is now more toxic to other people because she's been toxified. Because some of the ways to deal with at that level, people think, deal with toxic behaviors is to become more toxic themselves. And what happens is Red ends up more toxified, she ends up more reactive, she ends up being more toxic to other people because she's hurting and she's lashing out. And she's not cluing in that picking other people who are toxic to be involved with is going to create a healthy life. And Red keeps trying, but she keeps trying with the people who are least likely to be able to be healthy, least likely to be emotionally mature. And part of the reason that they're like that is because they're making similar choices to Red, which is you shouldn't have, everybody should feel sorry for you. They should not expect healthier behaviors. How dare they? They're snobs for saying no and protecting themselves against toxic behavior. You should feel sorry for toxic people as opposed to expecting that the toxic people should participate in their life and make the necessary improvements so that they can stop being toxic people. And it's the improvements that take people who are very toxic and take them out of toxicity into functional, healthy, wonderful human beings. And the only thing that really makes any person at a higher level or a lower level, basically, are a lot of the choices that they make. And there are some other factors in there, but one of the factors really has a lot to do with behavior, because people who are toxic, they don't need to be toxic. And this is true for a very large degree, but part of the reason people are toxic is they don't understand to just put in the healthy serving behaviors. And when they go do, and this can be a contributing factor why they don't understand it, they'll go and they'll try to put in healthy serving behaviors. But if you put in healthy serving behaviors into too unhealthy of a community, you're more likely to actually get attacked for them. So, for example, you know, people who eat very healthy get attacked for being snobs because, like, ew, look at you not eating this, you know, fast food or whatever. Ew, I wouldn't want to be like you. And you see people who are overweight, they've got massive mental health problems, they've got sour moods, and not everybody who's overweight has sour moods. I've met some really wonderful people who are overweight, but some are very toxic. And part of the reason that some of those people that are toxic is because they're eating a lot of toxic foods. And so they bash the people who do the healthier serving behaviors. Now, why is this a problem? Well, when people are in a space of thinking that you should understand why they're bashing you, looking for the solutions, and when they're not looking for the solutions, they'll attack other people who try to implement solutions. So the people that do manage to grow themselves and escape, they get fearful for a while, and they stay far away from anybody who's going to cause them the least bit of trouble because it's too, unless they get desperate for company, because it's going to be too toxic to be involved with those people. People who act like that will also get toxified by people who act exactly like them because those behaviors are toxic whether people choose to come out of them or not. So people end up being toxified by their communities, and then they'll cry that even like red and the other reds around red, the ones that red feels, the other reds are toxic, the other reds are jerks and bitches and assholes and all this sort of thing. And oh, don't they know how hard they're making life for poor, poor red? Well, all the other reds are doing the exact same thing as the original red. And because those behaviors are so hard, people in those communities will attack the fuck out of each other anytime there's forward movement, because the only way you can accept forward movement is if you're somebody who's also forward moving and you've got enough under your belt where you understand that other people are forward moving are a source of support. If people have not moved ahead enough in those different areas and it's not solidified in the body, even when they do try to make healthy adjustments, they'll be scared of doing them fully because they'll be scared of attack. They'll be scared of other people doing it, of attacking them. So they won't, even try it in some cases. And in some cases, to fit in, they'll actually bash the healthy serving behaviors that they need to show that, quote unquote, they're not a snob. Because in toxic communities, if you do healthy behaviors, you're a snob. In healthy communities, to bash people for doing healthy behaviors. So you really have to make that choice of like which end of life you're going to play at. Now, the higher you go, once you leave the being fear of being attacked, and you don't need to leave it completely to start doing this. what'll happen is you can start to, and again, you don't need to be perfectly out of the fear of being attacked to start being kind to other people, but you can start to have more acceptance of other people at all the different levels. And this is really important because it doesn't mean that you hang out with them to have acceptance with them, because you'll get caught up in their karmas. At some point, people at Red's level are going to burn you. It's not a if, it's a when, because people at those levels think that the bad behaviors are good, and they think the good behaviors are bad, and that's part of what causes the problem. Because if you think bad behaviors are good, people who think that are going to hang out with other people who have the same issues, and they're going to use those bad behaviors on that person, thinking on Red, thinking that if Red's a good person, she's going to put up with the abuse. And these are how, like, people stay stuck, but the thing that takes people out of it is, like, emotional maturity, saying, yes, this is my responsibility. You can, you know, if that's the only thing that people learned from this show, you can erase a huge amount of drama. And people worry that people aren't going to like them, you can reduce a huge amount of unlikability by simply not twisting things around and not being bashing over things that you're scared of. That will immediately reduce a bunch of, for people who are scared that they're toxic, it'll remove a bunch of toxic behavior if it's there. And for people, because there's always people who are scared that they're abusive, it'll erase a large amount of abusive behavior. Because there's a huge difference between not being perfect and being abusive. And I really want to clarify that, because these little things, like what makes toxic and what makes abusive people abusive, is simply, it's not that they've never made a mistake, although sometimes, unfortunately, mistakes may contribute to that, you know, bringing somebody who's very toxic and abusive, you know, to the party and having them toxifying abusive people. It could be toxic to hang around with Red if she's doing that with other people, even if Red's advanced, because Red will bring the troublemakers with her. So there needs to be that letting go of toxic people, even for somebody who's toxic, they're still going to be red, even if we put red like at a low enough level where she'd be considered toxic. Red can still get toxified by other people. So whatever level somebody's at, if you know somebody's toxic for you, unless they're family members, it's going to be more beneficial to cut ties with toxic people. Not because you have to think that they're bad, but if they're toxic for you, and especially for anybody who's still at the point of trying to, you know, pick up and save toxic people, the only way people get saved is through their own serving behaviors. And if you're picking people and trying to save them, you're going to be taking those toxic people into other situations, and you're going to be burning yourself. For those of you that recognize that you've done that, you're going to be, by taking them into situations where they're going to be toxifying other people, you're helping a toxic person toxify other people. So something to be aware of. But when we start making like these healthier decisions, a lot of those like toxic unserving behaviors can really, in some cases, like immediately be left behind. So stopping twisting things around, one of the fastest ways to clear up people's energy. Stopping lying, even the little white lies, to get one's way, that's part of twisting things around. Stopping the lying really cleans up people's energy a lot. trying to, like, you know, hold lordship over somebody else, like, I'm doing it better than you. That, you know, knocking that off and, like, saying, like, this is actually where I am, and oops, maybe I don't know as much as I thought. One quick way to reduce toxicity. And again, you know, people get scared of leaving those behaviors behind because you're scared of getting attacked by other people. Well, if people are giving you attack for healthy behaviors, you're never really going to be able to get ahead with them until they grow themselves, because they're going to attack whenever you do something healthy. And it's the beneficial serving behaviors that are actually going to get you ahead. So for somebody at Red's level who thinks like, well, they can't do that because they're going to get attacked, those people aren't stopping attacking you anyways. You just may not recognize the places where they're causing you hardship. Because people at Red's level, they're going to cause problems for themselves. They're going to be in a community where there's going to be where other people are causing problems for them, and they're going to be causing problems for other people. That doesn't go away. The only thing that makes it go away is to stop twisting things around and to be honest and to actually do the actions that start being on time. Those things will immediately clean up the energy. And, you know, like beyond that, you know, when people, sorry, I'm getting back to my point, and I realize I went a little bit off there. When people understand how this works and they've embodied enough, it stops making sense to hang out with people who attack you. And people who are still in Red's position will say, well, I can't do the healthy behaviors because I'm going to get attacked. And other people in other positions, so you don't necessarily have to be at Red's level to have that fear. But when that fear is there, that's your warning sign that you're not going to be able to do healthy behaviors. So at higher levels, when people get worried about getting rejected by the higher levels, the reason that they're saying no or there will be rejection there is because they understand to stay away from the person who's going to attack you for doing healthy behaviors. For anybody who's got a problem with it, who doesn't understand that enough to walk away from unhealthy behaviors, they don't understand enough to walk away from attack. Just because they don't understand it, it doesn't mean that other people don't. So the higher levels will get that a lot more, and they'll understand how to take care of themselves, and they'll stay away from the people that attack. And their warning sign to know who to stay away from is, oh, look, I ate a mango. I'm getting attacked for eating a mango. That's how they know to stay away from somebody, because, like, it's fruit. And if they're getting, like, massive, and if they're getting attacked or having people snarl at them, dig their claws in or whatever for doing healthy behaviors, they know that they understand, they're more likely to get more of that behavior if they hang out with that person. So they choose to go hang out with other people who are able to support healthy behaviors. And that's how people have happiness. That's how people get ahead. That's how people have joy. That's how people have peace, is by living the positive behaviors more and more and more. But in Red's position, when people don't have a solid enough usage and they haven't had enough experience of those behaviors working well for them, they can actually make the healthy serving behaviors wrong. They can call them fake. which means they're less likely to utilize them, which means if they don't utilize them, it means they're less likely to be comfortable with them, which means they're more likely to go on attack when these things happen. And so not everybody's going to be at the same level within that. But the only solution really for your growth is you have to be comfortable with living healthy behaviors, and you have to be with other people who accept them. That's the only way out of it, really. And in the beginning of change, sometimes people won't have those other supports, but you got to live it anyways, even if you don't tell other people what you're up to in terms of your healthy behavior, because it's the only thing that ever gets you out of anything. And this is true. You can be out of green and still have some issues. With maybe your healthy behaviors aren't working the best. You're not under as much attack as before, but things will get more, but things don't work out quite the best. You still need to up your levels in terms of like what it is that you do. And you may need to leave behind the levels that, you know, just maybe they're not attacking it, but maybe they're not supporting it the best. You need supportive, healthy behaviors. And part of the way that you do that is by hanging out with other people who also live healthy behaviors. And that can really help and heal a lot. So let's see here in the mailbag. Oh, in a moment here. Okay, so we have Tina in New York. She wants to know what's blocking her from seeing intuitively. So one moment, Tina. Okay, so one moment here. Okay, so Tina, you actually need to call Jane Phillips. And so she's on at Mondays. I think she's 2 p.m. PST. You can go to our website. Obviously, you know what that is because you've written in. And for anybody else, it's newsforthesoul.com. Because I see actually an entity sort of like covering you, and I'm seeing a being, and that's actually causing the interference. So I'm seeing that with that off you. You actually are a lot more intuitive. And that's actually causing quite a big problem. Let's see. So Jane's, that's Jane's sort of thing, to work on like curses and sort of like that, getting all those things attached from you. So I'd really actually suggest calling Jane Phillips and then seeing what's going to happen after that, because I think, you know, Jane's beautiful. never met her. I want to be clear about that. But Jane is definitely powerful. She's the real deal, and she'll actually really be able to help you. So I really like that. In terms of those energetic questions and you're dealing with the entities, quite frankly, just call Jane's. I'm going to tell you right now, Ghostbusters. Jane Phillips, Mondays here on newsforthesoul.com. So thank you for writing in. let's see. We have Tanya in Boston, Susan in Toronto, Veronica in California, Robbie in the UK, Tracy in Washington, Denise in New York, Felicia in the UK, Denise in New York. I would really actually, hold on here, I would actually suggest that you call Jane Phillips too on Mondays. Call her, I don't know if she does mailbag or not, but I would definitely suggest talking to Jane. Basically, Denise was asking for anything in the way of work or money. Unfortunately, Denise, I'm not going to be reading that one for you. I'm going to suggest that you talk to Jane Phillips instead. This is nothing to be ashamed of. I really want to be clear. There's been a lot of energy and bombardment. Things have gone up. Things have been absolutely crazy. And unfortunately, sometimes people have things latched onto them. And it is not my training to deal with, but I'm getting warning signs about opening the message, Denise. So unfortunately, talking to Jane Phillips would actually be in your best interest, and she can deal with some of that stuff. I'm not going to offer it. I'm not going to open it, unfortunately, because even just looking at the question at all, I'm getting warning signs galore. So I think you'll have a much easier time after you talk to Jane. So please do that instead. Tanya in Boston, so one moment here. So I read the names because I want you to know that you're in the mailbag, and I will get to you at some point in time. So one moment here. One moment here. Okay. Sorry, I just had to do a little bit of clearing there. So Tanya in Boston, she's been offered a new job, and she's wondering if she should leave where she's worked for 18 years and take it. So one moment here, Tanya in Boston. Okay, so let's see here. Okay, so Tanya, you got to make your final decision. but bottom line, here's the thing. Your current work environment, I'm not going to say it's got the best energy. And unfortunately, what happens is when you spend a lot of time and something that is not the best energy, and you move over to a new energy, sometimes people don't know how to deal with or handle that. And the new workplace is going to have much better energy. But what I'm seeing is that you'll be responding to it the same way because that's your habit to do so based on the lower energies that you've been experiencing in your current workplace for 18 years. So it is energetically a level up to take the new job, provided that you're actually going to be able to see and absorb it and acclimatize to it, then I think it would be a good move for you to do. It'll be, I would suggest some energetic clearings to help take off the energy of the old job and stuff like that, so you're able to meet things more appropriately. I'm not going to say that it's going to make you the happiest, that, oh my God, it's like the toppest, most highest level of energetic good ever, because it's not. It's just better than where you are before, and that's going to be beneficial. Another thing that I see is that you'll actually have an opportunity to stay there longer than you would at your current job, so that is something else to consider. So all signs point to that it would actually be better for you to take the new job, but again, the final decision has to be yours. Thank you for writing in, and good luck with that. So Susan in Toronto, she's really feeling anxious, and she's wondering if there's any messages coming through, anything to help clear it up. Okay, so one moment here, Susan in Toronto, one moment. Hold on one moment here. Okay, so Susan in Toronto. again, I'm going to start off with, this is nothing to be ashamed of. This is a common reaction. But sometimes when people get entities on them and they've lived with them for a long time, what happens is people get used to the entities and they kind of feel naked, or they don't know who they are without them. And that's what I'm seeing that's happening with you, is you actually have a really negative entity attached to you, and there's a lot of sources of anxiousness down here. Here's the thing. When I try to clear it off, Susan, you ain't letting me. You are not letting me clear it off. There's a lot of attachment that comes to that entity. So when I try to get it off, you pull it off. You pull on it. You get a little panicky. You try to get it back. It's like it's your new best friend. And then you go through all these things. Now, Susan, without the entity, doing much better, sweetheart. I really have to tell you that. so this would be another Jane Phillips call. again, 2 p.m. Mondays here on newsforthesoul.com. That would be a really, really beneficial thing to get Jane to clear up. Because, you know, you before and after entity removal, I know it can be a little bit scary, but you're going to need some help to do that. That's not something people... Usually when people, I see attachments to it, and they're not even like as attached as I'm seeing you necessarily, they can have a hard time shaking it. You just feel like they just kind of like keep springing back to it. So I would really suggest some help, because, I mean, you don't have to feel like this. You do not have to go through life like this. And it's going to be a lot more beneficial for you to discover like who Susan actually is. And so, like, so putting in, you know, some more beneficial activities, some light and stuff like that, after you get that NC attachment, you've really got the capacity to really, really, really make a beautiful life for yourself. And that's and with the entity is going to block it. It's sort of like, it's like, you know, it's not quite like, come to the dark side because they have cookies. but you see the sort of like stroking energy and stuff like that, where it's like, ooh, you know, you think everything's going to be okay in the lesser energies, and it's really not. Like, it's kind of like the bad boyfriend that's trying to convince you that he's good for you because he'll take you out drinking or whatever else, but then you miss some deadlines, and you don't realize that those deadlines you miss would have actually gotten you, like, a $300,000, $400,000 promotion. And I'm not saying that those kinds of funds are going to show up. I didn't check into that. But just to give you, like, the impact of, like, I see the beauty in your life being after entity removal versus before entity removal, it is really a huge, huge, huge freaking difference. so thank you for writing in, and I really hope you call Jean. And I want to be really clear. I don't say this lightly, like, ooh, call Jean Phillips. I say this because people often, especially if they've been stuck for a while, they often underestimate how much negative influences are actually having in their life. And when that happens, people have a hard time understanding, like, what their potential is to the highest degrees that they can actually go. So it's just like, you know, if somebody has a broken leg and they're eating a lot of junk food and they're, like, you know, sitting there on the couch, the muscles will shut down from lack of use, you know, and they think, well, you know, going and seeing a doctor isn't going to make that much of a difference. Well, if you've got enough, you know, if you've been through that and you've made the leap out of it, or and enough of the leap out of it, or if you've ever broken your leg or anything like that, something stopped you, you know how much easier it is to function with your leg working or, like, your hand working or whatever it is. It is the same thing energetically, but it can also be a lot more so energetically. Even though if you've, like, ever, like, had a hand in a cast and you haven't been able to use that one hand, you know how much of a big deal that makes to be able to use both your hands properly. It'll be a much bigger deal energetically for what you're able to achieve when those things are fixed. So thank you for writing in. And I think it's, you know, a really good example. And I've seen a lot of those lately where people are really underestimating, like, how much these effects will cost them in their life and how much benefit people can have by really making these changes that don't seem like a big deal. And quite frankly, I mean, to call into Jane doesn't have to be a big deal, but it can have tremendous impact if you get these things cleaned up and you learn different ways of being. So we have Veronica in California. She says energy in her neighborhood has been very heavy for quite some time, and she's wondering if I see things lightening up anytime soon. So one moment, Veronica in California. Okay, so Veronica, I'd love to tell you yes, but I'm going to tell you no. And unfortunately, here's the thing. People get addicted to behaviors. They get addicted to the positive behaviors, or they get addicted to the negative behaviors. And when people have been running a lot of negative behaviors and those passions are high, the more that they run them, especially if you've got people that finally feel free to lash out because they've always wanted to, but societal norms have said, no, they can't do that. When they finally can unleash them, it becomes very hard to put them back in the box. And when people finally, unleash the Kraken, unfortunately, some people think that negative behaviors are the form of their power source. And people will think that if they don't know how to use the positive behaviors and serving ways to get results, they'll feel more powerful and they'll feel more attuned and alive when they use the negative behaviors. And people can get addicted to them because there's definitely payoffs in the brain from using negative behaviors. And not only with that, but with the negative behaviors, the way that it works inside the human being, sometimes those negative behaviors can actually work very closely to the sexual arousal part of the inner workings of the person. So not only do people get addicted to negative behaviors, but they can actually get turned on by them. So what does this have to do with California? Well, you got a lot of people who are really addicted and they're not interested in cleaning it anytime soon. They feel like that's how they get their power. they're not going to get rid of those things and without a lot of work. And unfortunately, because there's so much backup for so much negative power, they'll sort of like feed each other, they'll feed off each other, and it becomes this very negative sort of entity. And the only way out of it is people have to have, unfortunately, something happen to them, usually to get them to smarten up. And sometimes it's a lower grade negative thing, you know, like just being threatened or fired or whatever. Sometimes, unfortunately, bigger stakes have to be taken. Now, do I believe in, you know, police brutality on innocent protesters? No, absolutely not. I'm totally against that. The reason, though, that some people are going for, you know, police brutality and stopping the mobs at all costs, you know, regardless of, you know, the damage they're inflicting to normal, to more emotionally healthy people who are trying to put a stop to unhealthy behaviors that are happening right now, is because, unfortunately, even if it's not used properly, sometimes people understand the only way to shock people out of those behaviors is to give them something negative that's going to be happening to them. Now, I don't agree with that usage and the way that it's happening sometimes in the world right now. But I'm just letting you know that sometimes, like, unfortunately, why people are wanting things to happen. So hopefully people come out of it, but it's a very hard thing for people to come out of, especially if they've lived a more negative life, especially if they think that the negative behaviors are going to get them somewhere. They're more likely to use those things, because when people have used a lot of negative behavioral patterns, it becomes easier to ride that circuitry in the brain than it is to ride the positives. And if people have ridden the negatives for too long, they actually won't really get much out of riding the positives. So it really will seem like the positive doesn't work. And does the positive work? Absolutely. Provided that somebody's worked them long enough and gotten, if they can't get them to work, gotten the appropriate help to do so. and again, with the sexuality part, some people think they're hot and sexy motherfuckers, you know, for going out there and doing those sorts of things. They think it makes them powerful. It makes them sexy. Some people are having hotter sex for it because they're getting aroused by the negative behavior patterns. You know, so they're going out and fucking everything in sight. And, you know, so if they're like, hey, pussy, you know, and they're getting like, women are like, yeah, fucking cock, man. You know, and they're like, woo, and all that sort of thing. It just sort of like furthers the sort of like negative things, and people are getting off on it literally. In some cases, you know, it's the dark side of all that stuff, is that people ride the negative more and more and more, and the more they ride it, the harder it is to come out of it. So unfortunately, you know, I'm not seeing good news on that front. The bright side to this is, I was wondering how to work in at some point in time, like when ladies, we're going to be off topic here because we're done with this. So thank you, Veronica, for writing in, and thank you for giving me the opening to talk about when people are giving you negative, unserving behaviors. And codependency, there's a lot of like, you should understand, and you should be kind to the slimy guy, ladies. Actually, no, because ladies, when, and I think I might have actually mentioned this before, when somebody's coming up to you and they're giving you a lot of really unhealthy behaviors, you're seeing the sort of things that are happening in Veronica's area, is that people are actually getting off on it when they're terrorizing you. Or when they're acting like big shit. So for some guys, it's like, really? You know, it's a toxic bitch is getting turned on by it. not all of them, but some of them, yeah. And some guys, you know, like to try to cash in on that. Well, the nice warning sign about that is we're trying to prey on toxic people, is the toxic people will usually toxify them. So not really something to try to go for unless you're willing to pay the price. But it does show you that, ladies, you know, when you've got a slimy guy coming up to you and you're thinking it's wrong or bad to say no to him, realize that not only is he having fun toxifying you, but he may actually be getting hard on and getting turned on by the soul, which means he's actually more likely to do it the more you put up with it. And some of you ladies have already noticed this, where it's like, there's a slimy guy, you tried to be nice to him and he gets slimier and slimier and slimier. Guess what? Dude may actually be getting more and more turned on by it, which is why the reason why he actually is increasing it in some moments in time. So when we think, like, in codependency, and you see this in spirituality, You see this in self-development. There are definitely codependent aspects in self-development spirituality, and it's you're not allowed to say no to unhealthy behavior. You should always understand. You should be nice. Well, actually, for some people, that just encourages them, and they can get more and more turned on. and just to give you a further example of that before we cut here, Hitler, there's articles out there suggesting that Hitler was actually orgasming while he was giving very hate-filled speeches. So something to consider about how much you're really wanting to play with that energy, how much you're wanting to encourage it. One of my best teachers and strongest teachers actually says it's time to say no to unhealthy behaviors and not put up with that shit and only go for the healthy stuff. And that would be a really good place, ladies, when slimy guys are hitting on you. I'd really suggest that actually might be a good place to start implementing that idea. So thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. My name is Elho Shotara. It was a pretty deep and really, pretty intense session today. So thank you for sticking with me through all of this. For lighter coaching, you can contact me through enlightenedinthecity.com. That's my website. If you want intuitive readings, you can contact me here. On newsforthesoul.com. You can also check out the archives of past shows. You know, as my intro says, I'm going to tell it like it is, and you're going to learn a lot of stuff on the show through coaching, and I hope to talk to you soon. So thank you so much again. My name is Elho Shotara. I'm here at 3 p.m. PST every single week, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I love you all. Stay safe and say no to bad behavior. Bye-bye.